B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we'll be talking about a fighting game being removed from all stores. You can't get it anymore. You can't play it anymore. It's going to be completely ridiculous. Also, Blizzard seems like they're trying to capitulate to a few of their employees' demands. We tell you how far it's gone. And also, Netflix is trying to make anime a reality with castings for the live-action One Piece, an announcement for a live-action Yu Yu Hakusho. And lastly, Meta. We haven't talked about it on this show. We're going to because a game development tool is going to be involved with Meta heretofore. And this is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard, here as always. And, I just want to say, it being Friday Eve, I am very excited because I am a day closer to Arcane Act 2. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Coming. Is there? I assume there's three of them?
Yeah.
So nine episodes total, probably?
Yep. Which, I mean, actually works out pretty dope because you go basically hour and a half movies. Mm-hmm. Just 3 hour and a half movies.
I wonder how, because obviously this has been successful enough, we're gonna get more. I wonder how long it's gonna take before we see the next one.
A while.
No, because animated stuff comes out a lot quicker than live action stuff.
No, because they're doing it themselves, remember? So this was probably a whole, like...
Yeah, but after this, I'm sure they can get a lot of extra money.
That's true.
Yeah, it... As if Riot needed extra money.
Well, I'm just saying.
But I agree with you, Robbie. I think we may see it sooner than we think. I don't know where you could do it, but I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to just say this, and this doesn't mean anything to either of you because you don't know the lore. But if it's going to stay with this episodic style installment where we kind of focus on one part of the world, I would love it to focus on the Noxian invasion of Ionia, where basically... the game's Roman Empire style, you know, they're not really Romans, but culturally they're like take everything over. Roman Empire style faction tries to basically take over the world's Japan, and they summarily get their asses whooped by a ton of magical people. So it's actually really dope, and they have cinematics about it already, but I would love to see a series about it. But... Weird Beater's here to my left, as always. LaBarba Obscura, what's up?
Hello. It's been a while since I've experienced this, but the roster shuffles going on with Valorant Pros right now ahead of Worlds is pretty crazy. Sentinels signed.
That's so weird that you. It's weird that you would see roster moves able to even be done close to Worlds.
Listen, what's even crazier, I've sent this to Robbie, I didn't send it to you. Sentinels, what were at one point the ultimate biggest team in the world, just signed a new coach for the first time ahead of Worlds. Raucus, a current player on FaZe, they didn't hire a coach, they hired another player that they had played against to come in and coach them, which is nutty. So I'm just basking in the chaos
and
that
the
is.
Messiness of being allowed to make hires like that a month before Worlds. Mm-hmm. Fucking weird. Anyway, Robbie Landis, Mr. Platinum, what's up?
I'm just over here. I can't get over the fact that Paul Rudd got named Sexiest Man Alive and his wife went, why?
I don't know either. Y'all know my thing with Paul Rudd. I'm going to just be honest. You know, it is what it is. But... I think I'm coming around on Paul Rudd because Chris Pratt continues to exist. So I think
that's just it. That's all he's doing. He's just existing and being dumb.
Yeah, he's just existing and being weird, and therefore it's making me like Paul Rudd more. So, hey.
Look, when you look at Paul Rudd, you're like, you could be a worse white person.
There you go. Yeah, sounds fucked up, but hey.
Instant is what it
anyway.
Is a little
bit. Robbie, that's a joke only you could make. Anyway, with all that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games. Now, I know a lot of y'all do not care about this, but you should care about the implications. The anime fighting game Jump Force, which included a ton of your anime favorites from series such as Dragon Ball, Hunter x Hunter, My Hero Academia, and more... is going to be taken off of all digital stores in February of next year. So they put out an official statement saying that you won't be able to get the game anywhere, but didn't give any reasoning as to why they're doing that.
It sort of just like came out of left field, I feel like.
Yeah, there's no announcement of a new Jump Force game. There's no announcement of any additional development. Nothing.
It has to be related to, like, licensing, right?
Yeah, but you would think, I mean, you make a game, you would say for as long as the game exists, like, these characters can exist in this game. Like, it's ridiculous. So, according to the statement, it says Jump Force will cease to be available for base game DLCs and virtual currency purchase on February 7th, 2022 in the Americas for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Wait, only in the Americas?
That's what the statement says. So, you know, if they have a deal with Shueisha, which basically says you could keep it in Japan but not the Americas, it's still dumb. It says some online servers will also be sunsetting in August of next year. Single player functions will continue and local playability will be available online.
This definitely reeks of like a IP issue. Like if it's a certain region that is not allowed to do this and they're killing the servers so that it just literally can't exist, I think that's the only way that they are able to say like, hey, we're not owning the IP.
You know what?
Still.
What if it has something to do with Sony buying Crunchyroll and Funimation and basically owning all the
probably
anime distribution in America? But, you know, I just look at it, and the reason why I say I think people should be concerned for this is one of the pitfalls of digital content. And this is something that all of the physical medium people have been screaming about for years, saying that your ability to access the shit that you love is no longer up to you. If you have a tape or you have a CD or a vinyl, it's yours. You have it for as long as you got something to play it on. But when you have these digital products, you are not, they can just remove the game from your system, stop your access to it. So now you're going to have people who pay full price for a game that they are not going to be able to get full access to, which is kind of ridiculous.
This feels like SimCity. Do you remember when SimCity, the new one, launched and it was like perpetually online? You had to connect online to even be able to play the game.
Yeah, I remember that. People were really pissed off about that.
Like, your physical media is not even safe at this point.
No, but the point is still that you can go buy the game. And not in that case, but for most games, if you're playing online, you can hop on, you put the disc in, and you're supposed to be able to play it. You know, if you just want to play the day one version, no patches, no nothing, mm-hmm. right? But the issue I have with this is the simple fact that none of these people are going to get their money back.
Yes.
None of these people, if you remove 70% of the game, you're not about to get 70% of your money back.
The checks have already been cashed.
Yeah, so it just reeks of bullshit, and I hate it because Bandai Namco usually puts out games that I like. They are a company that I have come to trust to support their games in a decent way. But
it's also kind of a dark little look at what, you know, the future could potentially hold, because now with consoles coming out where you have a choice between, you know, disc drives or discless, that means you're downloading everything.
Discless.
Well, driveless, whatever. Anyway, point is, you have to download, and eventually you're going to want to delete those to download new stuff. And if you think this is the first time something like this is going to happen in the future, where they just decide, you know what, this game isn't available anymore, even though on whatever store you bought it, you have, you know, the licensing for it.
Yep.
It's gone now, so you can never download it again.
Yeah, I just see it as a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I see it as, you know, yesterday we had a conversation about games that are bad launches. What is there to stop all of these games from saying, oh, people didn't like it in the first month. You know what? Just take it off the store. Fuck it. There may be people who still love this game. It's fucked up, but I just think this is a really, really slippery slope. I don't want to see this happen to games, even games I don't play, even games that may not be great. Let people be able to go and experience the not greatness of your game. You know, so it just sounds very weird and very terrible. Now, Robbie, we're going to toss to you on this next story. Blizzard I thought we were going to get a week.
BlizzWatch.
Never. I thought we were going to get a week, but BlizzWatch continues. And now, apparently, there has been some movement in terms of the demands of the employees of Blizzard. Can you give us a little bit of perspective on this one?
Yeah, so this is through ABK, the firm that has been, you know, helping with some of the concerns that the employees have been trying to get done. And what we're looking at is that contract workers who are notoriously sort of considered and treated as though they are second-class employees are having their minimum wage bumped up to $17 an hour, and they are getting 16 paid holidays or holiday days throughout the year, which in comparison, prior to this, they got no paid holiday leave but were forced to take holidays off, unpaid.
That's ridiculous.
So while this does look good, obviously, the fact that they've asked for stuff and they're getting it, that's obviously nice. But, and I know there are probably some people out there by this point, now that we've seen a little bit of movement, some concessions out of Blizzard, they maybe want to start, you know, forgiving them. You're like, oh, they're good. They're doing good things. Hold your damn ground.
Yeah.
Because this is still a multi-billion dollar company.
Yes.
And as someone on Twitter had pointed out, a senior, I think, Q&A analyst, had pointed out that currently they make $16.90 an hour.
That's it?
I'm sorry, hold on. Yeah, $16.90 an hour, which means they are getting a
10 cent
raise, and they have been at Blizzard for a while now. So these concessions are still, to Blizzard, to the company, they are pennies for what should be the minimum that you're giving to your employees to begin with.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And let me just say this. Obviously, like Robbie said, maybe it's a step in the right direction. Paid holiday, sure, fine. Does it change anything culturally at the company? No.
Nope.
Does it speed up the development of any of the games anybody wants to see? No. Does this actually change? Have we seen any movement on the new training process?
Yep. And again,
they
remember,
promised?
This is just for contractors.
This is not for salaried workers. This is not for the people who are hired in officially to the company, okay? And I know some of you out there know what contract work means. Some of you may not know. This basically means Blizzard is not paying you. Blizzard is paying a third party that pays you. It's weird, but I don't want to get too anti-establishment and start talking about that kind of shit on a video game show. But the point is they got away with paying them what they pay them and not allowing them to take paid holidays, even if their company policies say that everybody gets paid holidays, is because technically those people do not work for Blizzard. They
yes.
work for this other third-party company.
I mean, this is just more like more overall issues that feels like Blizzard is just going to be able to PR themselves out of this.
That's what they're trying to do. They're making the smallest concessions they can until they get to a point that they feel like they've made amends, basically.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, as employees, as fans, as even onlookers from the outside, continue to hold them accountable at all costs.
Absolutely. And moving on. Meta, something we haven't talked about on this show at all. I have feelings about it, as well as feelings about Mark Zuckerberg's fucking barbecue sauce bottle on his bookshelf.
Sweet Baby Ray's.
I mean, it's delicious barbecue sauce. I love it, but I don't put it on my bookshelves. You fucking
eaten by androids.
You fucking weirdo. Anyway, apparently Unity is going to be purchasing a VFX studio previously used by director Peter Jackson.
And not just, I mean, it's probably most well known for doing all of the effects in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Weta Studios.
Yep.
And but they're known for way more than just that. Like, if you want Mandalorian,
yep.
Weta
yep.
behind that one. Anything that's like Avatar, Weta.
It's like Weta, Industrial Light and Magic. Everybody else. Like, that is how lauded they are as a effects studio.
Oscar winning as
Oscar
well.
Winning.
Multiple times.
Yep, absolutely. But now hearing that, and I got that correct, that Unity is purchasing them.
Yes.
And they are all going to be coming together as a force to create some VFX stuff for Meta.
Yes. And they're essentially like, after you had Meta announce, you know, we want to be the metaverse. We want to bring everything together. Mark Zuckerberg is all in on this 3D, like, we sat in on this thing once with a 3D meeting, right? Yeah. Where you had like an avatar and you sat in.
It's the weirdest shit.
Super weird.
It should have just been a Zoom.
That's what Mark Zuckerberg sees the future as. But one of the
biggest. He wants to make Ready Player One.
Yes. The biggest thing that people have an issue with, though, is that they didn't feel like the technology of how to create like environments and characters and all that kind of stuff that wasn't like cartoonish almost. Yeah. You know what I mean? A lot of VR stuff still is not high
grade.
Well,
it's not just that. It's not affordable.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If you want to make a VR experience, you're going to have to massively, massively subsidize VR headsets and the rest of the VR apparatuses for people to be able to use, because the average human being is not going to be able to afford a VR headset capable of putting you into the metaverse.
I tried to have this conversation on Twitter, which was a mistake because it is a hellscape, and people do not understand. Like, when you tell them, look, VR cannot take off until I can go out and buy a PS5 or whatever the next PS is or the Xbox is, and it comes with the VR in it for at most $100 extra. Like,
at most.
Like, if going forward, if you have a VR and a non-VR version in the same way that you have the drive and the driveless one, cool. People will come out and be like, VR is affordable. It's $300. That's the same as a console. That's not the same.
It's not the same.
There's an extra $300 that we ain't got.
But all consoles are multi-use at this point.
Yes.
They're your Netflix box. They're your...
Our friend Ben was just talking about how he just uses the Xbox to turn Netflix on for his daughter.
Yeah, it's the Netflix box. It's your video game console. People use it for a multitude of things. And the reason... And so it justifies that $300 price tag. That is not affordable. The reason why we all have these little candy bar pieces of plastic and silicates in our pockets is because Verizon and T-Mobile subsidize them.
Yes.
And they put you on payment plans. Tell me how many people are walking around who have paid off their phone full price day of. Because you just, let me walk. I got $3,000 right now.
I know one dude who I used to work with at Levi's who still has a $50 flip phone. That's it. One guy.
Exactly. But that is how majority of us, that is how the world got connected. It wasn't consoles. It wasn't $2,000 desktop PCs. It was the phones. And the only reason that happened is because they cost nothing to make. They cost, at this point, almost nothing to sell. So when we're talking about the metaverse and we're talking about this big, huge, you know, purchase and collaboration between Weta and Unity and all the rest of this, they're not collaboration, a buyout. Who is this for?
You also have to remember that they're not just purchasing the ability to make VFX, right? They're purchasing the software and the algorithms of how to, like, have a camera point at something and be able to populate it, because that's what you can already do that in Unity.
Yeah.
Like, I can literally take a camera hooked up to a computer and live point it at something, and it'll generate a 3D background behind you.
The AR is where this shit is really going to have strength, not necessarily VR. And by the way, to your point, Robbie, about having this conversation on Twitter.
Bad idea.
Not just
well,
that.
Well, I was trying
not
to have the conversation with not Cecilia just, De Anastasio, who is fine, is great, and then everyone else piped in.
But not just that. But the point that I want to make to everybody out there talking about VR, talking about Meta and the rest of this stuff, is half of you motherfuckers don't use Facebook now.
Yeah.
So who is this all made for?
I got made fun of yesterday by, we were just talking about Ben. He's a college professor, and he's like, the number one thing that we consistently talk about in social media classes with college students, none of them want to use Facebook. Zero of them are interested in being on the platform at all.
But that's why they changed their name to
Meta. No. They changed their name because they had a massive whistleblower incident.
Look, that's part of it as well. But with as many people out there like, I'm never going to use Facebook, how many of them use Instagram?
Oh, everybody. No, I get you. I'm with you. My point is that two companies or a company has spent a massive amount of money to clearly get ready for the AR, VR, and VFX, you know,
age.
foundation that is supposed to be included in Meta. And I don't know if Meta has a market. Like, everybody is talking about how much Facebook has influenced our culture, and we know that. We know Facebook is powerful. But who is then going to convert, as you said, from Instagram, from WhatsApp, from Facebook into Meta in mass? I don't know it. I don't see it. I'm weird.
No, right now, no one. You're right. But look at how long it takes just to make a new game.
Yeah.
I think that they're planning for the future. I don't think that this is coming down in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
This is a play for the 2030s and 40s.
Now, by that time, might we have AR and VR built into consoles? May have someone found a way to subsidize it?
Perhaps. But, you know, as it stands right now, I think the announcement of Meta was premature.
They just needed to cover up that whistleblowing.
Anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we're going to be talking about the live action One Piece and Yu Yu Hakusho. And we're going to talk about it quickly. Rich got to get out of here. So stick around. We got more Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Norris Howard here alongside Weird Beer and Robbie Landis. We want to make sure that all of you guys are following us on social media at Checkpoint XP on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Facebook
too.
We're the last people on Facebook. Anyway, we there too. Soon to be on Meta, I guess. We may not have a choice. But you know, I want to talk a little bit about Netflix. Netflix has made a decision that they are going to take all of anime and they are going to make it real life. That's right. We know the Cowboy Bebop live action is on the way, but earlier this week an announcement came out saying they have already casted for their One Piece live action series, as well as they will be making a live action Yu Yu Hakusho. Much to the excitement and or chagrin of every millennial ever. So Weird Beer, as our resident weeb, how do you feel?
One Piece is like the longest running serialized shonen that's out there.
Still running.
I mean that one's an easy layup to me. I don't like One Piece, but there's a large enough like following that you will find people that will watch it no matter how terrible it is. Like this is a thing that will be. I mean, it's just printing money. The Yu Yu Hakusho one though is much more
Hakusho?
Interesting. Yu Yu Hakusho.
That's what I said, Mimi.
Okay.
I hate you,
Ryan. I think that one's more interesting because it shows, I think, that in the wake of Cowboy Bebop, Yu Yu Hakusho.
Just remake Adult Swim.
Yes, exactly.
Just listen, Netflix, go out, call Ted Turner, buy Adult Swim in Toonami from him as a brand, and just make it yourself. Just do it, because that's what you're doing right now. At this point, the only thing we need left is Tenchi Muyo, Inuyasha, and Robotech. That's it.
Big O?
And Big O, yeah.
Don't
that's
you
it.
Ever disrespect Big O
and,
like that
And Big
again.
O. That's all we need. That's all I you just There you go. You bought everything on Adult Swim and made live-action versions. So there you go. You actually, I don't even think you could make Tenchi Muyo.
No.
I think
not
that,
in 2021. That is,
you cannot make that show in 2020. Basically, you can't make Harem Man the show and make it, you know, compelling. But let's get back to One Piece and Yu Yu Hakusho.
I think that, if anything, I think that this is signaling the strength of anime moving forward. Like, with the purchase of Crunchyroll by Sony. It shows that these properties are going to be turned around and monetized now. They didn't just buy an anime streaming service.
No, look, Hollywood has made their way through the books. They're making their way through the video games. They made their way through rebooting all the old movies already. It's anime's turn.
It is 100%. Anime's turn. Yeah, you know what, Robbie? When you put it in that context, I mean, you're kind of right. I think Yu Yu Hakusho, to me, is still such a strange decision.
Why?
I feel like, I mean, well, first of all, the Bleach live action was terrible. The Death Note live action was terrible.
Yeah.
I feel
honestly,
like,
up until probably what we've seen of Cowboy Bebop, has there been a good anime live action?
Yes. Speed Racer as a movie was
Speed
good.
Speed Racer.
I would also say that they...
Speed Racer from a technical standpoint, but not from a commercial standpoint.
Okay. That's
fair.
Fine.
Fair.
But I also think that there's been other smaller things that people have done. There's been like a live action My Hero adaptation that they did.
I mean, but that's like the live action, like the Japanese live action stuff that they do, I think it's different.
100% different. 25%.
But
here's my thing of why they're fucking it up. This is the DNA. You know who gets live action anime adaptations correct? Mm. Black TikTokers.
Yeah.
Like, there's one guy who, you know, he did a Cowboy Bebop fight scene and everything like that. And there's so much fan live action stuff that is really, really well done. And then you look at what Hollywood turns out, and they avatar it all.
No, but you know what it is? It's because these content creators capture the spirit of what... You know, of what it is.
Because they grew up with it. They're not just trying to make money off it. It's the same. Look, it's the same thing that video game adaptations went through. And then we finally got, you know, Pikachu and The Witcher and Sonic.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing for me is that what I really like about at least some of the video game adaptations is that somebody along the way clearly played the video game. Somebody somewhere. For a good adaptation, somebody. Yes. The Witcher worked because somebody read the books or somebody played the games and was able to go back and capture a piece of the spirit of what the video game is. I feel like when it comes to anime, that is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, you're not going to make these white bread people watch anime for the first time.
It's not just about putting people in the same costumes.
Exactly. It's going to be really difficult. And, you know, you talk about somebody like Mark Phillips, you know, of Supreme Dreams, the guy who does a bunch of comedy on Twitter and other social media. But one of his biggest, hugest videos was anime fights in real life.
Yes.
Which was like going through each anime and was like, how does each one of the... And like, this was one of his earliest videos. They literally did it in like his bedroom. It has like no furniture, like nothing on the walls. But it's hilarious because it captures the spirit. So Yu Yu Hakusho, I look at this and I say, you know what? That's straightforward enough to me to be able to get it right.
It's mostly a tournament arc. That's a third of the entire
series. It's not Bleach. Right, it's not Bleach.
Yeah,
where you gotta create the spirit world and the soul society and all this other stuff.
The usual anime thing where it's like trying to get a mainstream audience to buy into anime conceits, where it's like anime episodes will start and be like, "Hi, I'm actually a slime that was saved in a dungeon, but I'm flirting with them because now I've got a girl." Yeah, like it's just weirdo anime shit, which I'm totally into, but like. Yu Yu Hakusho and One Piece are straightforward enough where they're just like, hey, I want to be the very best at this one thing that this world is about. It's like Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
If you have one central idea.
If you have hot-blooded anime protagonists
and
you don't have anything else, it can usually work. The problem that I'm going to see, I think, with One Piece as opposed to Yu Yu Hakusho is that One Piece has an incredibly rich world.
It's a bajillion episodes.
The world is so huge, and there is so much involved in creating that world that I don't know if they will. I don't know if Netflix got the patience to be able to let it all pan out. And let me just say this, all right? I'm going to put it out there, and I'm saying this right now, okay? Rick, the anime fans have done it again.
And they've won?
No.
Oh.
They've pissed me off.
Oh, once again.
Once again, because of course, we got an announcement of the One Piece castings, which for the most part, everybody was cool.
They were dope.
They look good.
Look good. And of course, Nami's boobs. That's the hill anime fans are willing to die.
They did. Look, they did the same thing with Tifa in the FF7 remake, remember?
Oh my God. I hate it. I hate it here.
Yeah,
I hate it here.
I know
so much.
It's especially aggravating because none of these people have seen a pair of boobs in real life.
None of you. None of you. Okay, because if you did, you would know that is not how boobs work.
Yeah.
Okay, but the point
is, two giant melons on a toothpick. Are you sure?
But the point is that this is why we can't have nice shit. This is why it's taken so long for us to get good adaptations, because you stupid idiots decide to make the argument about boobs, about the color of water, and, you know, the fact that somebody can't do a triple tornado kick when they're 48 years old. All right? That is what you fucks want to argue about.
Not realistic enough. 0 out of 10.
I hate it, all right? So I'm going to watch all of these series. I'm going to judge them on their own merits. The rest of you, please shut the fuck up and leave me alone.
No way.
And if you come to me or anybody else on Twitter talking about an animated character's boobs, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this right the fuck now. Get a fucking life. That's going to be the show. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.